In the 1980s, Laramie native and National Geographic adventure writer Mark Jenkins came upon an old book called Burma's Icy Mountains. It was written in the 1950s by an eccentric British explorer, Frank Kingdon Ward. Jenkins was hooked, especially when he found out that no one knew for sure which mountain was the highest in Burma. Gamlong Rasi was officially measured at 19,259 feet, but neighboring Kakabo Rasi, no one had ever stood on top and gotten a GPS reading of it. Jenkins became obsessed with solving the riddle. He made two attempts, 20 years apart, to summit Kakabo Rasi. At a recent interview at his home in Laramie, he told me that on the first try in 1993, he corralled three good friends to go. Only problem, at that time, Burma was living under violent military control.
We flew to Lhasa and decided that we would try to sneak across Tibet and then enter Burma from the far north, because this peak actually sits on the border of Tibet and Burma. They basically had a military junta that was controlling the country, and there was a lot of ethnic cleansing going on, there was a lot of killing, and so that's why we couldn't get in.
But they were never able to reach the top of Kakabo Rasi, because they ran out of food.
So we're kind of staggering along, and we stagger into this small Chinese military outpost, and we're immediately arrested. We eventually sign a 4-page confession. It's all in Chinese, so we have no idea what we're signing. But in the end, they drive us north out of town, back into Tibet, and say, just, you know, we don't want to see you around these parts anymore. And we were set free.
The friends talked for years about returning to try again. But Jenkins says it was never meant to be.
Mike and I had grown up together in Laramie doing adventures, and we left high school early and hitchhiked across Africa and Russia. And in 1995, he and his brother decided to do this crossing of Baffin Island. And as they were cruising across the Arctic Ocean, a bowhead whale breached underneath their boat and flipped the boat over. And all of them died of hypothermia one by one. Keith and I continued to climb and do adventures, despite having kind of these big holes in our hearts. 2009, Keith and I were climbing in Cody, and we were hit by an avalanche ice climbing. And I just happened to fortuitously be tucked under a little cupola of ice, and he wasn't, and he was hit. And avalanche broke his neck. So the two people I would have gone back to Burma with were killed. And I kind of thought that, well, this peak with the military junta, this region's never going to be open, so we'll just have to let it sit. But then, with Aung San Suu Kyi fighting from house arrest year after year, in 2010, things started to open up, and by 2012, she was released from prison.
That's the same year Jenkins met Hillary O'Neill, one of the world's great mountaineers. They both wanted to find a new frontier with fewer people and less commercialism.
And eventually we circled back to Kakabo Rasi, and I said, well, I think we could try it now legally. Instead of sneaking across Tibet, we could probably get permits. And she was so excited about that. So we spent 2 years planning. We left for Kakabo Rasi in 2014 with a team of six.
For 2 weeks, they traveled across the country now known as Myanmar by train, bus, and motorcycle until they reached the base of the mountain.
And from there, we had to start walking. 150 miles of walking. And it's jungle walking. This is not walking across a prairie in Wyoming.
To lighten their load, they left behind much of their gear and villages as they passed. Then they started the ascent and realized it was way colder than expected.
So the peak had been climbed, but it had never been measured. The height had never been measured. So we still weren't sure if it was the highest peak, because another Wyoming alpinist team climbed a peak just south of Kakabo and said, actually, this one might be higher. So our goal was to find out what is the highest peak in Burma. We had team disagreements at Camp 3. about who should be on the summit team.
They knew only three of them could make the trip to the summit. Team leader O'Neill thought she should be one of them.
I did too, until that second to last day when we were up from Camp 2 to Camp 3 and noticed that both Hillary and Emily were feeling kind of uncomfortable with the level of difficulty. What's the safest way to get to the top? And she disagreed. She said, I'm as good as you guys and I should go. And she ended up making the call in the end. She said, I'm going, and that's the way it's going to be. The next morning, it's extremely cold. The wind's going about 50 miles an hour. And she decided, no, this is not for me. I'm staying behind. So she and Emily stayed behind.
The one question that I had is that it seemed like there had to have been some amount of the gender thing must have
been able to. I think for Hillary, she definitely felt like it was a gender issue. I don't feel like I thought that. For her, it definitely was. I think she might have felt that, like, okay, it's the guys ganging up on the girls, because there were five of us, three men, two women.
No one got much sleep that night. And the next morning, O'Neill bowed out. So the three male team members packed up and started the climb to the summit. It was treacherous and bitterly cold.
Finally, I got to this high pinnacle. I'm on top of this pinnacle. I can see exactly what's left. And my heart just drops because I realize, no, we can't actually get to the summit. We could reach the summit, but we'd have to do one more bivouac. But we had no sleeping bags. We had no food. We had no water. And no mountain is worth dying for. Mountains, in my opinion, aren't even worth losing fingers or toes for, really. The real trick in mountaineering is knowing when to turn around. That's the great skill, to stay alive. And I'd been carrying in my breast pocket for this entire expedition a picture of Mike Moe and Keith Spencer. And I'd hoped to put it on the summit. But of course we weren't gonna get to the top, so I just stopped there and I took my glove and my mitten and scraped out a little platform in the snow and put that photo there. And I felt like we'd failed to get to the top, and I really wanted to get to the top, not only for my friends, but the altitude of that mountain is still unknown. So we don't know what the highest peak in Burma is, which is kind of a remarkable geographic mystery in the 21st century, to not even know what the highest peak in your country is.